Please enter your conference ID, followed by the pound sign. Thank you. You will now be placed into conference.
Dave, Jerry online also.
Hi, Jerry.
Kurt Schaefer online.
Who else is out there?
Kurt Schaefer.
This is Al. I'm on too, but I got my phone on mute.
Okay, Al. Very good. I got your mail today. Thank you.
Great. I am 3JP here.
Very good. We are about to start here. For those of you that want to use Echo Link, I'll turn that on here in about another minute.
Okay, this is Will, Dave. I'm assuming we got seven people logged on to the phone here now.
Okie doke. All right, I want to put this headset down, Will, and just remind folks to mute their phones if they can, and you're the boss. You take over.
Okay, I'm going to get underway because it is 8 o'clock and we told folks that we would start on time. Good evening, this is Will Doggett, K3SRF, Kilo 3 Sierra Romeo Foxtrot with the Arlington County, Virginia RACES, the Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service. Tonight we are presenting Unit 3, Message Handling using the ICS Form 213. Does anybody have any trouble logging into the conference, or either on the phone or on the webcast, or having problems hearing the audio?
Well, it's Jerry. I'm getting an error message, but thanks to Dave, I'm going to print out the materials and follow along.
Okay. If you don't mind, then I'm going to just get going here shortly. Tonight, we're talking about message handling, so it would be handy if you printed out some of the forms that we've included in the past, like the ICS 213 message form and the ICS 309 station log. We could use those tonight. If you don't have those forms, if you just have a pencil and paper, you can still copy the message. We're going to do one fairly long message just to get the hang of what it sounds like and what it's like to get the details down. So you can use the pencil and paper, or if you have the message form, you can use that. The station log, we won't actually use the ICS 309, but we mentioned that a few times. If you had that, you could kind of see how that fits into the function of a station as far as recording tactical messages and record messages. We'll talk some more about the 213 when we get to the message. At any time, if you're on the webcast, you can type a question to me, and I'll see that on my screen there, and I'll try to work in the answer during the program if I'm able to do that. If not, we will definitely have time for questions and comments at the conclusion. One of the things I can do is mute the phones here if it's just cut down the background noise. I may need to do that from time to time. Right now we seem to be fine. So I'm going to get underway. We've got about 50 slides, and so we should take around an hour, maybe a few minutes more to complete this program. So we're talking about RACES Basic Operator Course Unit 3, and that's where we are right now. So here's the things that we're going to cover in this program. We're going to talk about why we use the ICS 213 and what kinds of messages are used on it. And we're going to refer a number of times to the NTS radiogram. That's the National Traffic System, which is a function of the ARRL, the American Radio Relay League, the ham radio organization, that sends usually informal messages around the country, and sometimes those messages are used during emergencies, particularly for health and welfare traffic. And we'll talk about how they interface with us. It's a different system, but at times we do use that. and we'll talk about some details, some concerns and considerations about operational traffic, and then we'll talk about how to send a message by voice. That's our main function tonight. We're going to talk about how to send and receive messages by phone or voice communication. And we're going to talk a little bit about packet or digital communication, and we'll give you some links to get more information about that. If you have never had any experience with a national traffic system, you can get some experience any night on the Northern Virginia Traffic Net, which is at 147.300 megahertz at 7:30 p.m. And you can hear and, in fact, participate if you want to learn more about that. So those are kind of what our objectives are, and we're going to talk about why this is important. Even though I'm a vegetarian, I can say this is the meat and potatoes of our function. Our job is communication. And earlier on, we talked about how we need to maintain self-control and do the right thing, follow the rules, and not be a problem. Like when we need to contact a service agency, that's the radio officer's job to do that. Another RACES member shouldn't be calling up and say, oh, I'm ready to go, I'm ready to go. We've got to be professional. On the other hand, here's one place where we may be ahead of people. If we can learn how to handle messages efficiently and have the system down cold, we may be better than some of the agencies that we're serving, and they can say, hey, these people know their job. We're glad to have them work with us. So that's what we need to practice. So obviously people that want to be in a leadership position need to be ready to set an example, but everybody needs to be able to use this ICS 213 form. And we're going to practice like tonight, and we're going to do some more practice as we go later on so that we'll be ready to go when the opportunity arises and there's a need for it. The next two slides I put up, I actually a review from the Unit 1 where we talked about what kinds of nets we use. Just to remind you what's happening, our main functions will take place on operations nets, op nets, and there we'll be handling messages for our served agencies, and those will be of two kinds. Tactical communications, which is just quick messages of what the situation is, and then record communications where we need a formal written down message. A tactical communication could be something as simple as how are the two trucks you've got up at your site on fuel? Check the fuel for me, will you? And after a minute, yes, both our trucks have got 3/4 tank or more. We're good on fuel. We don't need a written message for that, but we will log that in our log. Check fuel on two trucks, 8:06 p.m. Whereas if it's something more serious, we're going to relocate two EMS trucks to Madison Community Center starting at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. We want a written communication. Who said we're going to move those vehicles? What time? How long are they going to be there? And who's the authority that made that happen? So in that case, we definitely want a record communication in writing specifying who it's from and who has the authority to carry that out. So those things happen on an operations net. The other kind of net is a logistics net or log net, which is mainly for our people, for RACES members, to keep them apprised of what the situation is. And if you look at the slide, it also says relay non-sensitive traffic. So there we may have the health and welfare traffic, or what the National Traffic System calls W precedence, welfare. If so instructed, we can carry messages like that, and we might be able to do that on our log net. And there we use our local repeater, just like we'll use tonight at 10 p.m. for the net. So I just wanted to go over those two types of nets just to remind everybody where we stand on that. But our messages are mainly on the ICS 213, which is the form used nationally by most emergency organizations. But we want to just kind of see where this fits in. Here's why we don't use the National Traffic System radiogram. It's not used by Arlington County. That's our main function, or state agencies. Our main liaison is the Office of Emergency Management for Arlington County, which uses the Incident Command System, the ICS procedures. And messages that are sent out will be used on the ICS form. Sometimes we'll get incoming messages because the ARL has agreements with the Salvation Army, the Red Cross, and some other non-governmental organizations to use their system. So they'll use the NTS messages, and if we do, we can handle them in their format rather than take time to have to change formats and copy messages over. But in general, we'll be using messages on our format, the ICS 213, that's widely used by government agencies. And we're going to use those because that's what agencies use typically. It's used by FEMA, it's used by SCARES, Homeland Security, Civil Air Patrol, the Coast Guard, and most other federal and state agencies. It's fairly straightforward. The idea is you don't have to know a lot of tricks or technical jargon to use the ICS 213. That's the idea. Plain language is kind of a common sense protocol so that somebody that receives a message doesn't have to be trained into how to interpret it. It's pretty much what it says. And that's what we're going to try to do, is make sure our messages are clear and simple and to the point. So on slide 8, we're talking about why we learn that. So we can do accurate, brief, clear messages. And as we mentioned in the last program, quality control is kind of our secondary function. Our main function is to communicate. We want to make sure that the messages we're sending are clear, not misunderstood, and they get the job done that they're intended to do. So we want to be able to be accurate, brief, and clear. And in the long run, we also realize, as we develop the Arlington Racies organization, we're going to need single sideband and packet capability as well, for a number of reasons, including communication with the Virginia Emergency Operations Center, mutual aid groups, traffic beyond this local area, places where we don't have repeaters, and to be able to interface with the Virginia Digital Emergency Network. The other night on the net, when Ed was running at KE4SKY, he asked us about to give him signal reports, in plain language. So we did a little bit of practice on that, and we realized that it was not something we were familiar with. So these are some terms that we need to be familiar with so we can be talking the same language. So when someone asks us for a radio check to get a signal report, they'll know what we're talking about. Loud and clear is pretty obvious. Good readable. GR means pretty much get 100%, but there may be some noise or fading in the background. Fair readable, FR, you might have to get some fills. You might have to have some items repeated, but generally pretty good copy. Weak readable, if you've got to get through to that station, you can hear them, but it's going to be, you're going to have to get some fills. It's going to be difficult. Weak unreadable, you know they're there, but you can't really understand anything. So those are five that we need to practice with and make sure that we can use them in the future. So what about formal messages or tactical messages? When are formal messages not needed? They're not needed for most real time. In other words, right now, tactical communication. One thing we can do, if we got a fire captain and needs to talk to a firefighter at another station, we can put them on the radio, and they can talk directly, and we can just make an item in our log. Fire Captain Smith talked to Firefighter Jones, 8:12 p.m. So that's one way to get the message done without having to worry about a message. If somebody needs something right now, obviously we can communicate that without having to write it down. It may be appropriate to write it down later, but we can get it to happen now. And most routine assignments, completions, coordination, did you receive that truckload of folding tables? Yeah, it arrived about 15 minutes ago. We're setting them up now. We don't need a formal message about that, but we do want to note we've got it taken care of and we communicated that's what happened. So all those things can just be line items on your communication log, but in general, those are tactical things we can just ask the question, get the answer, get it written down without having to have a formal message. On the other hand, a formal message is needed when we need something on the record. And this is important to know what's happening right now so that officials can ask us back and say, did so-and-so get that message? And we've got to write down in detail what the message said, when it was sent, and what their reply is. And later, if there's an after-action report or an incident report, those are public documents, and we want to have it down exactly what went on and what didn't go on. So we can use a formal message for ourselves if we're activating a station at a certain location, and if we are closing down a station, a formal message will tell us what time those events happen. Damage assessments, shelter and emergency operation center status, stuff like that, situation reports, declaration of emergency, those types of things, which would obviously be ordered by public officials with the authority to do so. The record message would get the details of it, when it happened, and who said so.
So those would be operational
traffic on our OpNet. It could be situation reports, resource requests, and again, it's important to know who told us. So right away, as soon as you get that message, you want to make sure it's got the person's name and their authority. Fire captain, incident commander, watch desk commander, whatever their status is, it gives them the responsibility to carry that out. And then if they give us a priority, we can use that.
Urgent,
immediate, or routine.
Those are the ICS precedents,
and that would go right after the group count or the word count on the administration line. We'll go into more detail about that in a minute. But again, we want to make sure we know who's sending us the message, and the agency official that's sending us the message will assign the priority. That's not our job to do that, but either the agency official or, if it's a large organization, they may have a message controller who's kind of our liaison person who gives us the precedence to go with the message. We've talked about record communication, and in general, ours are going to be on the ICS Form 213, or at least in that format, unless the originating agency has a form of their own. But as soon as we say that, the next line is don't fixate on the form. In other words, if we're in a position where we're communicating for a number of hours, we're going to use up our pre-printed forms pretty quick. But it's not a complicated thing. We need to understand what the format is so we can just use plain or lined paper and have a format the same as the Form 213 in a fairly easy-to-use fashion, and then not get hung up on, oh, gee, we ran out of paper. We know what we've got to do, and we'll keep it in the same format using plain paper. And here's the things that are going to be on the message form. We'll go down them one at a time. But on slide 14, it lists the eight main things. To, from, subject, the admin line. And we decided to use the Virginia RACES Form 213 that includes the message number, priority, and group count. And our radio officer said right away that those are key things we should have. Why not use the form that has that on there to begin with? So that's what we're going to try to use in Arlington if we have a choice. Then the message field, 10 five-word lines. So if you're just using plain paper, that's the main way to lay it out. So you've got five spaces across and then 10 lines deep. So you can do 50 words in a block there, 50 words or groups. The groups could be period, numbers, whatever they are. You'll see some in the examples. Then a signature line, and then at the bottom a reply field and a reply date and signature at the bottom. So if the message is a question or a request for information, the reply will be right on the same sheet of paper. And that's one of the advantages of the 213 form is in looking back, if we say, if someone asks us, what's the status of this situation, we requested the information, the answer is right there on the paper. There's no question about where it is and did those two things get connected. So the two line is pretty obvious. We're talking about the name, agency, and working title of the recipient. And using the incident command system, we read the line headers. In other words, two. So we've got that information on the other end, and the person that's receiving it doesn't have to be trained to know the format in advance. It'll be very obvious. We're talking this message is to so-and-so, and here's their role. So whoever's getting the message will know it. They don't have to be specifically trained. From, likewise, the originator of the message, and is usually the person who is going to get the reply if one is expected. The format would be the same, the name, their agency, and their working title, either fire captain, incident commander, whatever it might be. Then the subject, the date and time, again, that's determined by the served agency. So it could be an incident or a task name. It could have a date and time along with urgent. Or it could have a request that there are reply needed by a certain time. Normally we use the day and month and a 24-hour local time sequence unless the agency tells us otherwise.
And then we get to the main message block, which is
And then we get to the main message block, which is that 5 by 10 block of 50 words or groups. And again, we're looking for plain language so that whoever gets it can read it without having to figure out what we're talking about. Unless the agency uses certain jargon or certain things over and over again, then we'll need to learn what their phrases are so that we can be efficient. There's no point in saying the whole word out every time if their people use it over and over again. But in general, we can do a message of 50 words, 5 at a time, and when we're reading them, we'll read 5 and then pause. So that'll be our main thing, and we'll do a practice on that shortly. Then after the message, we'll say, break for text. After the prefix, we'll give break for text. Then we'll say break for signature, see if we need any fills or repeats on the text. And then we'll go to the signature, which again is the person's name and title. Then later on, if a message comes back, then we'll have the reply block, which is the same situation. 5 by 10 could be as many as 50 words. And then at the bottom, again, the date, time, and the signature and position of the person who wrote the reply. So people updating the status board or in the command post to acknowledge that tasks were done or the status reports were received, they'll have that information right in front of them.
Okay, before we actually get to practicing a message,
I just wanted to give some ideas about things to look for. The precedence, if any, goes after the message number. So after we do the first part, the two, date, precedence, group count, and so forth, then we'll say break for text. And then if the receiving station needs to fill at that point, they can say so. And they'll say again the word after whatever it is that they didn't get. Or if they got everything, they'll just say go. Go means I received everything up to this point, and we're ready to go to the next part, which would be the text.
So as I'm reading it,
I'm going to try to carry out this part. I'm going to pause briefly after each line of 5 words. Words could be groups. It could be punctuation. It could be numbers, whatever. And then we'll say break after the text and before the signature in case a fill is needed. And if a fill is needed, one of you can say again the word after whatever to get a fill, even though you'll have actually the text of this in front of you to check.
And one more reminder,
we're just going to give you some things. We're going to say initials first. That means a letter. We're going to say figure or figure group. That means numbers. Or a mixed group, letters and numbers. And then we're going to go ahead. So, here's the first message. 2, initials, Charlie, Papa, Tango. Anthony, I spell, Alpha, November, Tango, Hotel, Oscar, November, Yankee, Barrero, I spell, Bravo, Alpha, Romeo, Romeo, Echo, Romeo, Oscar, initials, Echo, Oscar, Charlie, Fire Duty Officer.
From,
initials, Charlie, Papa, Tango, Ronald, I spell, Romeo, Oscar, November, Alpha, Lima, Delta, initial, Lima, Mastin, I spell, Mike, Alpha, Sierra, Tango, India, November, initials, India, Charlie,
subject,
initials, India, Niner, 5, Hazmat, I spell, Hotel, Alpha, Zulu, Mike, Alpha, Tango.
Date. Figure 2. June.
Time.
Time.
Zero.
Mixed
five.
Group.
Three.
0. 5. 3. 0. Lima.
Message number.
Figure Message group. Number.
6.
Figure group.
0.
6.
1.
2. 0. 1. Urgent.
Group count.
Figure group 50. Break for text.
At that point, if anyone needed to fill,
they could speak up. Anyone do?
Nothing heard?
Then we'll go ahead.
Why did you not say the word position?
Tractor,
trailer, carrying, mixed group, 40 kilo, pounds,
explosive,
initial, bravo,
overturned,
left shoulder,
Ramp. India.
Mixed group. India. Niner. 5. Exit. Mixed group. 170. November.
Period.
Initials. Victor. Sierra. Papa.
And.
Chemtrek. I spell
Echo.
Charlie, Hotel, Echo,
Tango.
Mike,
Romeo,
Tango,
Echo.
Romeo, Echo, Charlie,
notified,
period,
evacuating, I spell.
Shirley,
Sierra.
I spell,
Hotel.
Sierra,
India.
Hotel,
Romeo.
India,
Lima.
Romeo, Lima,
Yankee.
Echo, Yankee,
Industrial,
Park,
East,
of
India,
mixed group,
five.
India, Niner,
and
5,
residence.
And,
in.
Residence, in,
Lynbrook,
Lynbrook. I spell
Yankee.
Lima,
November.
Yankee,
November,
November.
Bravo.
November,
Romeo,
Bravo,
Oscar,
Romeo,
Oscar,
Oscar, Oscar. Kilo,
East,
Flanders. Of,
I Flanders, Foxtrot.
I spell
Lima.
Foxtrot,
Alpha.
Lima,
Alpha,
Delta. November,
Echo.
Delta,
Romeo.
Echo,
Sierra.
Romeo,
and.
Sierra, and
Springfield,
I spell
Papa.
Sierra,
India.
Papa, Romeo,
November.
India,
Golf.
November,
Foxtrot,
Golf,
India.
Foxtrot,
Echo,
India,
Lima,
Echo,
Delta,
Lima,
Estate.
Delta,
Estates,
of. West,
Frontier,
of,
I spell.
Frontier,
Foxtrot,
I spell,
Romeo.
Foxtrot,
Oscar,
Romeo,
November.
Oscar,
Tango.
November,
India.
Tango,
Echo,
India,
Romeo,
Echo, Romeo,
and North,
Palomino, of, Palomino, I spell
Papa,
Papa, Alpha,
Lima,
Lima,
Mike,
Oscar,
India,
Mike,
November,
India,
Oscar,
November,
period.
Oscar, period.
Need
shelter
Lee.
Opened.
I spell
Lee.
Echo.
I spell
Echo.
Lima. Echo.
Initials.
Echo.
Hotel.
Initials. Hotel Sierra.
Break for signature.
Break for signature.
Anybody need a fill there?
Anybody need a fill there?
If not, then the signature.
Oh, yeah.
If not, then the signature.
Once, repeat, please.
Spell Mike Alpha Sierra Tango India November. Initials India Charlie.
That was a long message. That was 50 words.
That was a long message. That was 50 words plus the header.
I think you muted it.
And you can see to get the exact details takes a long time if you got to spell out those words.
Repeat, please.
But that's what we just did.
Repeat, please.
And in a real case, it would be important to know exactly what streets we're talking about, exactly what
moderator.
Can you repeat that? And that's why we spell them out.
Will, a couple people had questions.
Know that what that word means. There's no maybe about it. We spell it out. Any questions or comments so far?
Yeah, Will, a couple of folks needed fills. I was not sure they were getting all the the audio.
Let's go ahead to the signature. We're talking about the originator of the message. Usually, traffic, that would be the station where it came from. But if it comes from a third party, it would have the signature of the officer in charge, Captain Bill Bennett, incident commander from the fire department. Then we want to talk a little bit about when to spell things out, when to use the procedure word, the pro word, I spell. We don't have to spell out anything. So words that we're familiar with, like EOC, the Emergency Operations Center, or RACES, we know what those mean. We don't have to spell those out unless the receiving conditions are poor enough that it's just hard to hear anything. But if there's proper names, we spell every one of them out. That way there's no question about it. Likewise, when there's words that sound the same but have different spellings and meanings, we spell them out, whether it's two, Tango, Oscar, or longer words. If we spell them out, there's no doubt about it. And if we're using punctuation other than period, we're probably going to spell it out. Period ends a sentence, so we're used to hearing that. Unless it's weak readable or we have a real problem, we can just say period, and that takes us, that's one group or one word, you might say, even though it's a punctuation. Dot, I spell Delta, Oscar, Tango, is for a period within a text group,
like
an email address, not a period. So we need to know when to use certain ones. Obviously, in our cases, we're going to use some types of information more, like a frequency that's got megahertz and then a fraction. We'll spell out decimal in figure group. That'll be the radio frequency. Or dash. Or if we've got an email address with an at sign, we're going to spell out at sign. Alpha, Tango, Sierra, India, Golf, November, for that symbol in the middle of the email address or the URL. And again, as we mentioned before, we're concerned about quality control. We want to make sure our messages get through, and sometimes we're going to be the ones actually writing the message down. Sometimes an official will hand us a written message. Other times, he or she will say, send this, and it'll be our job to write it down. And in either case, before we start sending, it's good to read over the message and see that it means what the writer thinks it means. Because sometimes when you're writing it, you know what it's supposed to mean, but will the people on the other end know? So read over it and see if there's a way that could be misinterpreted or that could have more than one way that it could be understood, and then point that out tactfully to the author and say, it could be clearer if he said it like this. Write out the message in full in plain text. That's a quality control step. If it's written down, then you can look at it, they can look at it, there's no doubt about it. And if it includes a phone number, to break that down into units, just like we always do, so you can look at it and say that looks right. So we said we'd get back to talking about the national traffic system. What about the ARL numbered radiograms? Those are really from the ARRL, American Radio Relay League. But in years of abbreviating things, they now call them the ARL numbered radiograms. Okay, we don't normally use those. The incident command system and RACES do not normally use those numbered radiograms. But what if we receive one? It could be in response to a Red Cross disaster welfare inquiry. Or it could be from the Salvation Army or some other non-governmental agency. If you get the numbered radiogram, the number is not actually a figure. It's actually spelled out number. And like we said before, usually on the operations net, the opnets, we're going to be taking the primary traffic for the served agency. But on the logistics net or log net, we may have time, if so directed, to handle health and welfare traffic, or what in the ARL we call W, welfare. And normally that's an ARES task. The Red Cross handles messages of that type. But in case you've never seen one, I wrote out one so you'd see what it looks like. And here's what it is. Here's the heading at the top. That's just a message number. W is the precedent. W for welfare. Here's the originating station. And there's the word count. How many words in the message itself, not counting the signature. And was originated in R10 on this date. And here's the addressee and her phone number. And here's the message. It's very brief. ARL3. That's the numbered radiogram. ARL3. And then it has a little bit of other information that's kind of a fill-in-the-blank. Virginia Hospital Center, Arlington, and then the signature. So that's the advantage of these messages when they're transmitting a lot of them. They can be quite brief. But the question always arises, what does that mean? What does ARL3 mean? Obviously, you need to have that information on the other end. So that's something I think we should probably have in our little books of field data and forms is a list of the numbered radiograms so that when you're ready to deliver them, you know what that means. Because here's what ARL3 means. It means am in blank hospital receiving excellent care and recovering fine. So that other information used to kind of fill in the blanks, so the message reads am in Virginia Hospital Center, Arlington, receiving excellent care, recovering fine, signed Krista Thomas. And a number of their messages are designed for possible emergency use. Some are just routine things, congratulations and happy birthday and stuff like that, but some of them are ARL16, property damage very severe in this area. 20 means temporarily stranded. 21, search and rescue assistance is needed. Stuff like that. So those messages may be appropriate, and if they come through from the Red Cross or another agency, we need to be prepared to handle them. So I just wanted to show you what an example of those was, even though we probably won't be seeing them so often. If you did want to get the list of them yourself, they are on the ARRL website, which is arrl.org, and you can just do a search for numbered radiograms. There's a little document called FSD-3, Foxtrot Sierra Delta-3, which lists all the different radiograms if you wanted to have that in your file of radio information. So there's some other differences we should be aware of. In the National Traffic System practice, they usually don't say the line headers because they've got trained operators that may be sending these by the dozens or hundreds. They're used to the format. On the other hand, in our situation, in the ICS, we use the headers because we're not sure who's going to be at the receiving station. We want to make sure that they'll get the message clearly. NDS uses initial X-ray, an X as a break at the end of the sentence. We use period because it's simple. We'll know how people will understand what that means. Sometimes you need to give the receiving operator some other details in addition to the text. So operations, operator notes or op notes can be given after the signature. After the signature, but before saying break as you end the message. Or at the same time that you provide any fills requested by the receiving station. So they could, an example could be recipient is deaf and uses a TTY or use a certain relay service. Those types of things. So that would be the op notes. Again, to give the message first and then at the end, after the signature, give details about how they would deliver the message or other information that they might need.
Then we want to make sure that
that the receiving station heard us properly. So we can use the word confirm two different ways to ask the question. So the receiving station, confirm Echo Sierra Papa. Meaning, did I hear that right? But the sending station response is wrong. I say again, the word after figures 170 November, period, initials Victor Sierra Papa, over. In other words, not Echo Sierra Papa, but Victor Sierra Papa. Then, if the receiving station heard it right that time, confirm, go. I mean, go ahead with the message, I'm good with you up to that point. So confirm can be a question, and then once you've got it confirmed can be an answer, I understand everything as transmitted. Give me one, just mention again about the authentication, who gave us the message. It's important for us to make sure we have that information on a record message, that we've got a written out message with an original signature and job title. The authority, you can say, I've got the responsibility for sending that message, and that'll go in the record. If the message is a formal one, but simply stating that our station is up and running at this location, such as a message going to the Virginia Emergency Operations Center, that can be signed by our operator, if that's the person that knows enough to say our station is up and ready to run. But on ones where it's a record situation, it's really important that we have that information. We know who we're talking to. To acknowledge receiving messages, if you don't require any fills, you can simply say, Roger, that message number. For example, if your tactical call is Lee Center, you can just say, Lee Center, Roger, number 6711, over. You got that message, everything's fine. They've got 100% copy. So that makes it clear that to that control or to the other station that that traffic is passed accurately and we're good to go. And then, what about when you're done with the message? If the traffic message that you just sent is the only message or it's the last one, you can say end, no more, over. Or if you have one or more to follow, break more to follow. Or break one to follow, over. So the station on the other end knows what to expect. So what we want to do is to maintain control, but to be brief and to the point where we can. So we're not wasting the time on the net, but we're getting the information through with 100% accuracy. And what about when we deliver the message? If we're going to read it over the phone or to someone out loud, read the text and the signature back to the recipient. But if we're leaving it on an answering machine or with a third party, we need to make sure if there's any question that they can get back to us. So if we're using a phone, we can give them our number or our location, technical call, or other way that they can get hold of us. So again, it's a quality control issue. We want to make sure they get the message, they know who it came from. If there's any question, they can find out about it.
Okay, what about privacy and professionalism?
Okay, what about privacy and professionalism? Professionalism, we're amateurs. But on the other hand, some of us can be professional and some professionals may not be. So without making any generalizations, I think it would be fair to say that some members of the media, including some television and print media personnel, do not have strong ethical and moral values. And that's why on this slide it says, RACES personnel must not discuss disaster information when media is nearby. Because if media people hear something, they usually go with it, regardless of the completeness of it, the privacy or other issues. And it's a sad story, a number of us have seen it on TV or other places, where someone's family is involved in a disaster, and now there's four television trucks in their front yard, and they can't even walk the dog or get the newspaper without somebody putting a television camera in their face. So we don't want to be responsible for that situation of invading somebody's privacy or handing out information that may be half-baked. So if the media's around, we need to mind our P's and Q's and make sure we're doing what we need to do and nothing more. In almost all cases, we do not use names in messages, except the name of the agency contact or the person in authority making that statement or decision. Unless the person in charge says we need to use this name for a specific reason, then we may. But in general, we do not use names, and that's why. And if a media person is there and has a question for us, that's not our job. The public information officer is the job title of the person who is the liaison with the media. So we should refer media requests to that person. The PIO is the one that's trained to know what to say to the media and what not to say. And enough said about that. We want to talk a little bit about packet, because we said we want to have more than just 2 meter and 440 FM communication. 2 meter is handy for short distance, but there's some other times and places we need more capabilities. And likewise, if we want more privacy, packet would be ideal for that. So I'm just going to give you a few slides about this here near the close of the program. Some operational considerations. We're talking about the Virginia Digital Emergency Net. And there's some guidelines about that. I've just printed up a copy myself. The Virginia Digital Emergency Network Operation Guidelines, which were dated September 04, are on a website from kc4asf.org. That's Kilo Charlie 4 Alpha Sierra Foxtrot. .org, or you can just do a Google search for VDEN and you come up with that. And so it's a brief, maybe 6 pages of their procedures, the operation guidelines, and the digital guidelines. And it gives you some information just like we have right here. So use the SD command to send traffic, give it as much detail, the drill or incident in the subject line. It's using the same format, the ICS 213 format. And if we're using giving a status report or situation report, we don't need to repeat the whole information each time, but only those items that are changed. So our packet message that we got before, the message that we talked before about the tractor trailer with the explosives would be in similar format in packet. So that's what it might look like. So everybody needs to know the basic packet message conventions. So we'll talk about, for general operational and drill messages, use the command ST, send traffic, rather than SP, which means send private. Some other things to be aware of, traffic going to the agency should be addressed to that specific agency if possible. And we can connect to the BDEN bulletin board system, the network auto forwards, but not directly to the Virginia Emergency Operations Center. We'll do some more training on packet, and if some more of us can be involved in that, it would be a big plus for sure. Because the BDN is an up-and-running organization, but some more people participating would certainly be welcome. Just like it would be in a case with a 2-meter FM or even a sideband station, when we're up and running in an emergency or a practice function with a packet station, we should send a check-in message and say, here we are, here's our location, we're operational at this time, here's the agency that we're serving, and then some details about the routing and what capabilities we have. And likewise, when we conclude, we'll send a message saying that we're concluded. Slide 47 is a little picture of kind of the flow chart of a message. Starting at the top left, the incoming message would come to the radio operator, then it would be transmitted. The logger or recorder or message controller at the agency might be the one to receive that. And then eventually it would get to the recipient, then they would give us the reply or the outgoing message, which again might go through their staff back to the radio operator to be transmitted back to reply to that question or status request. The detailed communication procedures for RACES assigned to an emergency operations center are in the FEMA Civil Preparedness Guide 1-20, Emergency Operations Center Handbook. So that would be something that we would need to go into more detail about when we want to be trained to operate at an emergency operations center. So those are what we want to talk about tonight, using the form 213, to be prepared to use it if we've got those forms in our old notebook, or if we're just using plain paper, what to look for on the forms, and also a little bit if we need to use the National Traffic System numbered radiograms, or if in the future we're going to be able to log on to a packet bulletin board system and use that to send messages. So that winds up our program tonight. Again, we want to acknowledge and give thanks to people that helped us with this program, particularly Ed Harris, KE4SKY, and the other people who put this program together, including Art, W4ART, and Pat, W0IPL. And the information is copyright by Virginia Racy's and all rights are reserved. Ready for questions or comments or feedback about tonight's program and what we might be able to do better in the future?
Will, KE4SKY.
Muted. Will.
Any comments or questions?
KE3SRS, KE4SKY, you're muted.
Will, it's Michael, KB3DQI.
Yeah.
All right. Can you hear us now?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Was this also broadcast on the Echolink node or not?
I believe that they said that he was doing that, yes.
Yes, it was.
Which Echolink node?
WA3TIN-L.
All right, great. Thank you.
Hey, Dave, I tried to get in. I was a little late, and the Echolink was not up.
I just got a guy from Japan check in.
K4RP disconnected. WA3GIN.
We'll have to try it later and see what happened, Doc. There were people in there.
Okay. Well, I tried to get in, could not. So, all right, no problem.
Yeah. Will, KE4SKY with a comment. Yeah. Back when you're sending, the message, and it's a fine semantic thing, but generally, at least the way I was taught was initial was for a single letter. If you have more than one letter, then it's sent as a letter group, and then. And then, of course, you got letters and numbers mixed, then it would be a mixed group. Because I think back when you were doing the subject line, you had initials I-9 or 5, and it would have been mixed group I-9 or 5. But, small point, but just for corrective purposes here. And also, I think you did a good job as far as pacing the rate of the message, because I know I tend to go too fast, but when you are using the forward I spell and pausing about 1 second per letter as you spell the word is about right, and that's about what you were doing there.
Okay, good. That's one thing that we need to practice between ourselves to kind of see what works and see if we can follow along. Obviously, as we get more experience, we'll be able to do it a little quicker. Good. Thanks for the feedback, Ed.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments?
W3GNQ, Lewis, Delaware.
I do have packet capabilities down here, and I have a 13 element beam. I can get back to Washington or Arlington on a regular basis without skip. What frequencies would I use?
John, Virginia, 145.73.
Repeat.
145.730.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
I have a question in 3JP. In the message of 213, we talk about precedence, and in this case, urgent. There's no place on the 213 for that. Is there a reason?
That's why we have the admin line in the Virginia Racing Forum on the FEMA forum. They don't have a place for precedence or group count, so that's why we added that admin line on our modified form.
I don't see it on my modified form.
If you look above the message block, there's a header there for, I think, message number and group count.
That's
and
right.
And basically, we would put the precedence after the message number.
Okay. That was my point, that there's no word precedence there.
Yeah, well, it's not always given, and at least, generally on most of the messages, that we have handled, the agencies don't generally assign one, and generally if they do, if it's urgent, then it really is.
Okay. W3GNQ Lewis, Delaware, one other question about the packet. Is there any PL on that?
Negative.
Okay, thank you.
Glad you could join us tonight from Delaware.
Thank you. From Lower Slower and Stop Delaware, W3 Golf, November. Well, thank you. From Lower Slower and Stop Delaware, W3 Golf, November, Quebec.
Very interesting talk. Thank you.
Very interesting talk. Thank you.
So we've now completed 3 out of 5 segments of the basic operator course, so looks like we're on a roll. We can get these done. The next one will be March 8th, that's 2 weeks away, and the final lineup as well is planned for Wednesday, March 22nd. March 8th and March 22 will be the two remaining.
Audio went way down, Will. Audio went way down, Will.
Yeah.
It's like you're stepped away from the microphone.
Just
dropped way down.
Yeah, need to repeat when the next session is and all that.
Okay. All right. Can you hear me now? Are we better with this microphone?
Not quite.
Yeah, that works. Not quite.
All right. Are
we better with this microphone?
Yeah, that works.
Is it better now with this mic?
Yes, it is.
Is this better now with this mic?
Yes, sir.
Yes, it is. Yeah, well, if you can go back and give folks a fill on the next training session when it's going to be.
Okay. The next unit 4 will be on March 8th, and the following one, unit 5, will be on March 22nd. March 8th and March 22nd.
I'll send reminders out to everybody as well.
Great. Can you say a word about the technician course? Do you have a plan for that yet, Dave?
Well, we got the material. We're going over the, I think there's at least 6 PowerPoint presentations. I've gone through the first one, looking for volunteers who want to participate as instructors. We don't want to burn Will out here, but we are looking for volunteers. From those folks that are already licensed who would like to do at least one of the training sessions or participate in one. I know Don, KI4FON, is interested in doing some segments. So hopefully we're going to start something up here in March, but we do need to sort of get the volunteers together, make sure all the units are spoken for and covered before we announce. But we're really trying to get the class started in March.
Okay, great.
Any other questions or comments or feedback?
KU4SKY. Anything else? Any other questions or comments or feedback?
KU4SKY, I'd just like to see everybody on the net on the repeater at 10. And my turn in the barrel, and we're going to be looking for a volunteer for next control next week.
Okay, we'll see you all
at
10 o'clock on the repeater then.
Great.
Thanks very much, Will.
Okay, we'll see you all at 10 o'clock on the repeater then.
Thanks very much, Will. Great job.
Okay, good night all.
Good night.